Amen. That is a lovely song. I remember a number of years ago, I was standing in the back of the old Hartville church, and they were singing that song, and it just blessed me. And those memories came back again this morning. Just beautiful song of praise, and want to say amen that we can worship our God. This is our God, and let's praise him. I want to bring a welcome to each one here this morning and to this part of the service. Lately, I was blessed with that song, O Holy Night. It's a song that we associate with Christmas, and the group sang it yesterday, and it was such a blessing to me. I couldn't get all the words, so I went home and I looked up the lyrics for this, and there's some phrases in there that are tremendously interesting, but I'll just read this. O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, O night divine, when Christ was born, O night, O holy night, O night divine. Led by the light of faith serenely beaming, with glowing hearts by his cradle we stand. O'er the world a star is sweetly gleaming. Now come the wise men from out of the Orient land. The King of Kings in his lowly manger, in all our trials, born to be our friends. He knows our need. Our weakness is no stranger. Behold your King. Behold him, before him, lowly bend. Behold your King before him, lowly bend. Truly he taught us how to love one. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother. And his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy and grateful chorus raise we. With all our hearts we praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord, then ever, ever praise we. His power and glory evermore proclaim. His power and glory evermore proclaim. I was really, really, really blessed with this song. And it was done beautifully. The message just gripped me. Because when the song was written, it was some 40 years after the French Revolution, and the song was written in France, and there was an upheaval in the country of France for many years. And for this to be written, and then it was later translated to English, at a time when much of the world was in an upheaval. It was translated in English in 1850, and that was right when slavery was rampant here in the United States. And the writer of this song put in here that the slave is our brother, and that the chains of oppression will cease with Christ. And a tremendous forethought in a time when it wasn't experienced in reality, but it was in this song. It was written, and so both during the French Revolution and during the slavery, during the black oppression, untold suffering happened for people to enjoy what most of us take for granted without even thinking about it. Slaves to escape Mississippi, where we used to live. Mississippi was a bad state. And just slaves to escape there, they did all kinds of things. Sometimes they were covered in manure and carried out in a manure wagon to be set free someplace else. And, but the writer of this song looked, he saw things that there was an equality there, even though one was oppressed and one was not. And I think it's beautiful. I think it's beautiful because only in Christ can that be realized to its fullest extent. Only in Christ is there an answer for that kind of freedom. All right, I'd like to turn for a reading to Revelation in chapter 3. A few weeks ago, Jonathan shared with us the story of Zacchaeus, which was so masterfully done. I was just blessed my heart. And a man that was hungry, a man that wanted to see Jesus, and he wanted to, he had an inner longing that he wanted realized, and he thought maybe Jesus is the answer. And so he put forth every effort to make contact, and Jesus saw him, and he was rewarded, and so were many other people. His life was changed, and he was, it was a blessing to many people to see Zacchaeus changed. Now, here is a completely different story, and yet lessons are here. I'd like to read Revelation 3, starting with verse 14, and you'll recognize it as the message to the church at Laodicea. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And thou anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches." The church at Laodicea was in a very rich country. It was situated in a good place geographically. And it was true that they were rich. The city was destroyed, evidently, in the year 62. And it was rebuilt without any government aid. They're just evidently the citizens of the country had enough resources to build that. There were things that they prided themselves on. There was an eye clinic. There was eye salve, I think, that they had made. There was clothing industry. They had textiles that were sought over through the world. And they were big into banking and finances. But what does Jesus say in his letter? He says, "Counsel thee to buy of me gold." He says, "You are wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked." Every one of the things that they felt like it was a strength with them, he condemned it as a weakness. And he says to buy of me gold that was tried in the fire, to buy And thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. You know, everything that they thought was good for them was a count against them, because they were, why? They were lukewarm, it says. And he says he would spew them out of his mouth because they were distasteful. But that's not all he says. What he says further in verse 20, or he says in verse 19, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And then in verse 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. That beautiful invitation is one that we probably all learned as a youngster. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. But consider how this invitation was given. We have the example of Zacchaeus that was hungry. He went running to Jesus. We have Nicodemus that came to Jesus by night because he was afraid of his colleagues, probably. And we have the woman at the well that Jesus met by accident, was just happened to be there. All of these people Jesus, you know, interacted with, and they were willing to hear what he had to say. But in this story, in this account, they're cold, or they're indifferent. They're lukewarm. They're neither cold nor hot. And in many ways, I think that's our society today. They're satisfied the way things are. They don't want changes. Are we willing to present Jesus to a self-satisfied society? You know, I think it can be us as well. Maybe we're just satisfied the way things are. And we don't need anything. The invitation is to that kind of person. It's to us, if that's where we find ourselves. And so what Jesus wants is he wants a relationship. He wants, he says, to sup with him. And that was indicative of a very close fellowship. And that's what he is wanting. He's wanting a close fellowship. He's wanting relationship. And he's offering it to people that are not hungry, that are satisfied with the things that they have. He's still offering it. Unlike Zacchaeus that was hungry and eager, he's offering it to people that are satisfied. And so, appreciate what Daniel shared about standing in the gap, and I think this is one way that we stand in the gap, is to portray, offer Christ, people that are satisfied. There's more to life than that. Let's stand and let's say together the benediction in Jude 20 verses 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and evermore. Amen.